And talking retail on the Business Breakfast with the World Retail Congress kicking off at Madinat Jumeirah this morning. And a few months ago, I took a tour of Almaria Central. That's the major new shopping mall being built in Abu Dhabi. It's set to be the home of the first Macy's outside the US. And the company behind Almaria, Golf Related, has been researching what Abu Dhabi wants and needs when it comes to retail. Daniel Parry is the Managing Director and General Counsel at Golf Related. He's with us now. Daniel, nice to see you again.
Good morning, Brandy.
So you've been speaking to nearly 1,000 Abu Dhabi shoppers. What are you trying to find out?
So about a year ago, we decided to ask, what does Abu Dhabi want? What are they looking for? What are their needs? What are their touch points? What's making their experience in Abu Dhabi from a shopping point of view, from a mall point of view, relevant to them today?
So we've been chatting to various people this week about retail, and there's been a big talk about how people are going online, e-commerce, it's a big danger to physical retail. But the vast majority of people you spoke to still want to go to the mall.
Correct. 94% of people say that going to the mall is a key part of their leisure time activities.
Right. But the thing that got me thinking was the fact that the majority as well were happy enough with what they had in Abu Dhabi. So do they still need a giant Almaria Central mall?
The answer to that is yes. 46% of people still said that they want more. They're still leaving Abu Dhabi to go to other malls. So I think 46% of people are leaving Abu Dhabi to go to other malls for their entertainment needs. So when we look at it, shopping has improved dramatically in the last few years. Dining's getting better. But one of the key things we found was entertainment isn't where it needs to be.
So when you say they're leaving Abu Dhabi for other malls, you basically mean that they're hopping on the highway, they're heading up to Dubai, aren't they?
Correct.
What's Dubai giving them that Abu Dhabi's not?
It's the entertainment experiences connected to the mall that they're just not seeing in Abu Dhabi. I think Dubai has probably led the world in malls for entertainment, in the same way that Asia has led malls for F&B. You know, there's three components to a mall. For a mall to be relevant these days, you want great shopping, you want great food, and lots of entertainment. And those are the experiences that haven't historically been in Abu Dhabi, although it's catching up.
But you've got cinemas in Abu Dhabi. I mean, what are you saying? That we need to have indoor ski slopes? You need to have a giant ice rink?
No, it's the everyday types of things. It's the simple child minding. It's the place where the families can go and the kids can blow off steam. One of the things we're doing at Almaria Central, we're bringing parks into the development. There's a small park for the kids. So the mums with the bubs, it's the five-year-olds, and then it's the older kids in a different park. So it's those types of experiences that you can't meet every day.
And it's interesting, looking at your report, you talk about, one of the headlines is embracing placemaking. That's how you describe it, placemaking, and the comments from the architect who's developing the mall, and you said you are departing from traditional big box mall designs. What do you mean by that, and how will this one be different? You've touched on that already, but explain that in a bit more detail.
Yeah, we see placemaking as a place for the community together. It's allowing people to come for more than just a retail experience. So you want to come and socialize with your friends. Where do you go after work? For a casual experience. Sometimes it's shopping, sometimes it's just a great meal with friends. It's having light open spaces. It's having the conveniences that you would find, for instance, bathrooms that are clean and tidy, things that you would expect. It's allowing the community to really meet in a focal point.
Is there anywhere around the world that you've seen when you're doing your research and say, you know what, yeah, they do it really, really well? Or is this something that you think will be a world first and others will look back and say, okay, Almaria Central, that broke the mold and we want to emulate that?
You know, I think one of the things that Related's done for many, many years is create those sense of places.
That's the New York company that you've partnered with.
Correct. That's Golf Related is a joint venture between Golf Capital here in the Middle East and Related in New York. Time Warner Center is Related's piece in New York. We're building Hudson Yards, and those embrace it. Singapore is a great example of placemaking and where there's more than just a shopping experience. Asian malls, for instance, have about 22% F&B. You know, when I moved to the region 7 years ago, the international benchmark was 6%. So it's really changing how you're thinking of your shopping experience in the malls.
Will you be tweaking or altering any of the plans that you've got for the mall? I mean, I know you've topped out now, you're 18 months from completion. But as a result of this survey, as a result of the feedback that you've got from these 1,000 shoppers?
It's going to be a long 18 minutes. We We've tweaked it a little bit. I mean, one of the things we did 5 years ago, we engaged some international consultants to say, what is best practice? Where do we think the world's going? What we've done, though, is from this study, we have enhanced some things. For instance, our baby change rooms, they're, you know, we had 30, we've just upped it to 40. So there's little tweaks here and there. We've realigned some of our F&B offerings, but there's been no major course correction.
Tell me about what people expect now in terms of technology in malls that they might not have done 5, even 3 years ago. I mean, going through your report, there was mention of charging stations, which are becoming the norm. Wi-Fi. I mean, do people expect more free Wi-Fi, not just an hour, a lot more speed? What are you going to be doing?
It's all of that. It's the convenience that you've got at home brought right into the mall. So it's Wi-Fi where you want it, when you want it. One of the things is digital wayfinding. You're not sure where you want to go. You look it up on your phone in the app. Tells you exactly where you are and where you're going to go. It's those digital connections.
Tell me about the digital wayfinding, because I was under the impression that that kind of GPS mapping technology was quite difficult to do indoors, that it doesn't get on very well with concrete, and that using map technology outside is one thing, but using it inside is another thing again.
Yeah, there's different types of mapping technology, but there's simple Wi-Fi where they triangulate where you are. There's the cell phone receptions and the receivers that we put within the mall. We're actually working with a number of providers at the moment because that is one of the areas that's growing rapidly and evolving rapidly.
What about the stuff that you can't control, though? I mean, one of the things that people said very heavily they wanted in your report, 90% of people said they wanted knowledgeable shop assistants. And this has always been a big bugbear in this part of the world, isn't it? People saying it's great that there's lots of staff, but they're not necessarily empowered, they're not necessarily invested in enough to give us the information that we need. I mean, you guys are the mall owners. You can't take care of that.
You know, we can deliver many things, but at the end of the day, it's up to the retailers to provide the staff. You know, one of the things that came out is 8 different profiles of different consumers, and one of the ones was the overly aggressive shop assistant. But the retailers, you know, we're building the place for them to go. They've got to provide the service and the staff to support it.
Daniel, let's talk about those retailers. When this mall was conceived several years ago, we were in maybe the golden age of UAE or Gulf retailing, where many retailers could charge what they like. They did charge 20, 30% more for products than you would charge in, for example, Europe or Asia examples that you've mentioned. But we've had a number of retailers sitting in the chair where you are now in recent weeks saying, that game is over. We've had Nisreen Shaker of Virgin Megastores saying, that the era when retailers in the Gulf could charge 20, 30, 40% more is gone. We've had Michael Shaloub of Shaloub Group saying, you know, this is a new normal era. How does that affect your business model, Daniel, when the retailers aren't going to be making as much profit?
I don't think it's about the retailers making the profit. I mean, from my point of view, it's all about the productivity. We're building the mall at Almaria Central and the Galleria today, which is our existing mall. And we're building the box to enable the retailers to sell their goods. If we're talking rental rates, that's just a matter of the retailer's productivity. But I'm not sure it's impacting their profitability.
Well, if they're not making as much money and they're shutting stores, they're trying to drive a harder bargain with landlords, and you are one of them. Yes, it's going to be the latest and greatest and all singing, all dancing shopping mall, but the reality is if your profit margin's gone from 50% down to 20%, you've just got to drive a harder bargain with all mall owners.
Yeah, I think the profitability of an individual retailer is really, the rent's one factor of that. It's the staffing costs, what they're buying the goods for, which I think is probably going to be the main driver of their productivity.
Where are you when it comes to getting the retailers in at the moment? I mean, I know you wanted to be in the mid-80s percentage-wise by the middle of this year. Where are you now?
We're probably a fraction behind that, but we're still targeting 80% probably by the end of summer, which will put us nicely on track for the opening fall 18.
And what kind of feedback are you getting from the retailers that you're signing up? I mean, Richard mentioned there that a lot are facing tough times. We are hearing that from the retailers that we talk to here. Is it taking a longer sales cycle to get them in for you?
It's taking a lot longer. The discussions are far more robust than what they might have been 5 years ago. But at the end of the day, when we explain and put the entire project in front of people, they understand what we're delivering. And it is a game changer for Abu Dhabi.
Are you having to do anything differently, though? I mean, are you having to be flexible on rents, flexible on terms, differentiate contracts at all?
I think we have to be more understanding. I don't think in a contract negotiation things are changing that much. It's just taking a little bit longer, and we have to be listening to what they're looking for and understanding each other's needs and wants.
And where are you now in the building phase? I mean, I visited a couple of months ago. You'd just topped out. What's happened since then?
So the roof is now going on and the facades are going on. A few weeks ago, we started opening our process to start closing out the mall. So we're in the process of getting our permits. So by the end of summer, we'll have had our permits for the department stores and the first phase. And then between then and the end of the year, we'll do the closeout for the rest of the mall.
And the opening date?
Still on track for fall 18.
Okay, Daniel Parry, Managing Director and General Counsel at Golf Related, the company behind Almaria Central in Abu Dhabi. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for you.